You have your Bibles, and I trust that you do, turn to 2 Kings chapter 1. That is our text for this morning, 2 Kings chapter 1. If you are using a red Bible, I think that's the way things are said around here. If you're using a red Bible, turn, it's on page 307. 2 Kings chapter 1, if you would stand as we read God's Word together. After the death of Ahab, Moab rebelled against Israel. Now Ahaziah fell through the lattice in his upper chamber in Samaria and lay sick. So he sent messengers telling them, "Go inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover from the sickness." But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, "Arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria and say to them, 'Is it because there is no God in Israel that you are going to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Now, therefore, thus says the Lord, you shall not come down from the bed to which you have gone up, but you shall surely die.' So Elijah went. The messengers returned to the king, and he said to them, 'Why have you returned?' And they said to him, There came a man to meet us and said to us, 'Go back to the king who sent you and say to him, thus says the Lord, is it because there is no God that you are sending to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore, you shall not come down from the bed to which you have gone up, but you shall surely die.' He said to them, 'What kind of man was he who came to meet you and told you these things?' They answered him, 'He wore a garment of hair and a belt of leather around his waist.' And he said, 'It is Elijah the Tishbite.'" May God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. You know, Christians pursue God's Word. And we pursue God's Word knowing that God's Word always prevails. Not sometimes, but always. Regardless of our feelings, regardless of the circumstances that we go through, regardless of what others say, God's Word always prevails. And the first duty for us as believers, the first duty of obedience is to listen. We listen to God's Word. For us, living the Christian life begins with listening to God's Word. We understand that the work of God always begins with the Word of God. Several of the Old Testament books begin with two realities. One, God speaking, and two, people listening. When you look at the book of Leviticus, it opens by saying, "The Lord called Moses and spoke to him from the tent of meeting." At the very, very beginning of Leviticus, we see God speaking and we see Moses listening. The book of Numbers begins by saying, "The Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai." Again, God is speaking and Moses is listening. In Deuteronomy, which is a collection of sermons that Moses preached to the Israelites, it begins by saying, "These are the words that Moses spoke to Israel." There we see the people of Israel listening to the words that God had spoken to Moses. And the Shema in Deuteronomy chapter 6 begins by saying, "Hear, O Israel." The Israelites were told to love God with their heart and their soul and their mind. First, hear. That word carries the idea of listening and obeying. The great commandment which Jesus repeated in the New Testament was to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. But we understand that we will not love God until we listen to God's word first. Over and over you will hear in the Old Testament, the word of the Lord came. The word of the Lord came. What a grace that is. The word of the Lord came. And you will find people receiving the word of the Lord. The Lord takes the initiative to speak. He is the one who takes the first step. And we, as followers of God, we have the responsibility to listen to the word that he has spoken. You see, we understand that when God speaks his word, and when we listen to his word, he is creating faith in us. We understand what Paul says in Romans chapter 10, that faith, it comes by what? Hearing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Faith does not come by anything else. Faith comes by hearing. Now, we know what James says in James chapter 1 and verse 22, that we are to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. But we must understand that we will not be effective doers of the word until we are first effective hearers of the word. Hearing comes first. Doing comes second. This morning in Sunday school, Tom talked about biblical manhood. He talked about as goes the man, so goes the world. Well, it's true. As goes our listening to God's word, so goes our thinking. As goes our listening to God, so goes our believing. As goes our listening to God's word, so goes our living. Winston Churchill said, courage is what it takes to stand up and speak. Courage is also what it takes to sit down and listen. And this morning, we have been courageous. You have been courageous to sit down, to humble yourself, to put yourself under the Word of God, and allow God to mold and shape you. We've gathered today to hear God's word. Last week, we gathered in this place to hear God's word. Next week, we will gather again to hear God's word. Why do we do that? We do that because we understand that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. And we also understand that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. We pursue God's word knowing that his word always prevails. Now, there are two Ahaziahs in Scripture. You can really get confused in Kings, with all of the kings and all the people that are there, but there are two Ahaziahs in Scripture. There is the Ahaziah who was the king of the southern territory, the king of Judah. Sometimes he's called Jehoahaz. He reigned for about a year in 841. This is not that Ahaziah. This Ahaziah in 2 Kings 1 was that Ahaziah's uncle. This Ahaziah was the king of the northern kingdom of Israel. He ruled only for about 2 years, from 853 to 852. Ahaziah was not of good stock. Ahaziah, his father was Ahab. That meant that his mother was Jezebel. Now, can you imagine having Jezebel as your mother? In some ways, Ahaziah couldn't help but be a wicked king. Look at how 1 Kings ends, beginning in chapter 22 and verse 51. 1 Kings ends by saying, Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel in Samaria in the 17th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. and he reigned 2 years over Israel. And look at what the writer says. He did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of his father, in the way of his mother, and in the way of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. He served Baal and worshipped him and provoked the Lord, the God of Israel, to anger in every way that his father had done. Ahaziah was not someone who pursued God's word. In fact, here in 2 Kings chapter 1, instead Ahaziah pursued the word of a false god, the god Baalzebub, the tribal deity in Ekron, and because he didn't pursue God's word, because he resisted God's word, not only did he die, but 102 other people died. You can tell a lot about a person not by listening to them, but by seeing what they listen to. What kind of podcasts do they listen to? Well, what kind of books do they read? Where do they go for advice and for direction? When they're pursuing an answer, are they pursuing what is right and what is true, or are they pursuing what they want, their own desire? Do they seek to listen to the truth even when it is difficult, or do they want to listen to what is easy? Ahaziah rebelled against the Lord. Ahaziah resisted the Lord. Ahaziah did not pursue God's word. The story of 2 Kings is the sad story of King Ahaziah. He did not pursue God's word, and it was disastrous for him. This is a disturbing story. It is not like Caleb. It is not positive and encouraging. If you're wanting positive and encouraging, do not read 2 Kings chapter 1. But Ahaziah proves to us, because of his resistance, the word of God always prevails. Now, the place where Ahaziah lived, there was a balcony. And on that balcony was some sort of railing or banister that Ahaziah, the Bible tells us that Ahaziah fell through. It was poorly constructed, I guess. And he fell through and he hurt himself so badly that he didn't even know if he would live or not. That's how badly he hurt himself. So he got a group of people together and he said, I want you to go to the city of Ekron, 25 miles away. I want you to go to the city of Ekron and I want you to find out from Baalzebub, the God who is no God at all, the God of Ekron, I want you to find out whether I am going to live or not. So this man, this delegation goes to Ekron. And as they are going, the Lord speaks to a prophet named Elijah. Elijah the Tishbite. And God said to Elijah, you go down and you intercept that delegation that's coming from Ahaziah. They're on their way to Ekron to find out if, from Baalzebub, if this man is going to live or not. Tell them there is no use in them going because I, the Lord, say that Ahaziah is going to die. So Elijah the prophet hears God's word and obeys God's word. And he goes down there to those men that he doesn't know and he intercepts them and he says, listen, God told me that there is no use in you going to Ekron because Ahaziah is going to die. And they turned around. They turned around and they went back to Ahaziah, and Ahaziah was, I guess, lying there on his bed. He said, what are you doing back? I just sent you. And they said, well, this fella met us along the way. And he spoke with authority, and he said, there's no use in us going to Ekron. Ahaziah, this is not positive encouraging either, but you're going to die. And Ahaziah said, what kind of man was this that spoke? And they said, he was wearing a garment of hair and a leather belt. And Elijah said, oh yeah, I've heard my mama and daddy talk about him. That's Elijah the prophet. Well, look again at 2 Kings. Let's pick up the story in verse 9. So after this delegation came back, it says, then the king sent to him, to Elijah, a captain of 50 with his men, with his 50. So you have 51 men. And he went up to Elijah, who was sitting on top of the hill, and said to him, O man of God, the king says, come down. But Elijah answered the captain of the 50, if I am a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50. Then fire came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Verse 11. Again, the king sent to him another captain of 50 men with his 50. And he answered and said to him, O man of God, this is the king's order. Come down quickly. But Elijah answered them, if I am a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50. Then the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Now, during this time, if people did not like something that a prophet said, or if they disagreed with a prophet, they would go and try to capture the prophet and bring the prophet and bind the prophet. Tom, aren't you glad that we don't do that around here? Yeah. So that's exactly what they were doing. Ahaziah was like, go get him, boys. So he sent the delegation there. Now, we know that the word of God is not bound. Paul tells us that in 1 Timothy. Elijah did not like what he said, so he sent this delegation. And the man said to Elijah, he said, oh, man of God. Now, I don't know exactly how he said it, but he probably said it like this. Oh, man of God. Like he was mocking him. He said, oh, man of God, come down. And Elijah said, well, if I am a man of God, let fire come down. He didn't call the fire. He just said, let fire come down. Boom! Fire. Well, Ahaziah was a slow learner. So Ahaziah, when he heard the news about this captain and 50 men being barbecued there at the bottom of the mountain where Elijah was, he got another captain and his 50. And he said, okay, didn't work the first time. Let's try it the second time. So he sent him, and the man said the same thing. Oh, man of God, the king says, come down. Elijah said the same thing. He said, well, if I am a man of God, let fire come down. Boom, fire came down. So now we have 102 people dead because of Ahaziah's obstinacy. When they hear about that, I'm sure that all of the captains were like, looking down. This is not the time to make eye contact with Ahaziah. And Ahaziah says, well, maybe the third time is a charm. So Ahaziah got a third captain and his 50 men, and he sent him to Elijah. And this third man was different in what he said. Look at verse 13. It says in verse 13, again, the king sent the captain of a third of 50 with his 50. This is after 102 died. And the third captain of 50 went up and came. Now look at how he approached him. He fell on his knees before Elijah and entreated him. O man of God, please let my life and the life of these 50 servants of yours be precious in your sight. Behold, verse 14, fire came down from heaven and consumed the two former captains of 50 men with their 50s. But now let my life be precious in your sight. Then the angel of the Lord said to Elijah, here God is speaking. God spoke to Elijah and said, go down with him. Don't be afraid of him. So he arose and went down with them to the king. And he said to him, thus says the Lord, because you have sent messengers to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, is it because there is no God in Israel to inquire of his word? Therefore, you shall not come down from the bed to which you have gone up, but you shall surely die. So he died. What are the next three words in verse 17? So he died according to what? The word. God's word always prevails. So he died according to the word of the Lord that Elijah had spoken. Jehoram became king in his place in the second year of Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, because Ahaziah had no son. Now the rest of the acts of Ahaziah that he did, are they not written in the book of Chronicles of the kings of Israel? This third captain who went to Elijah was not as brash. He was respectful. He spoke with fear and wisdom, and as he approached him humbly, the Lord spoke to Elijah and said, go back with them. Now, some might say that this story ends on a bad note. Ahaziah dies. But I would suggest to you that this story does not end on a bad note. This story ends on a good note, because God's word prevails. This story is not about the death of Ahaziah. It's about the prevailing word of God, that God's word prevails. Do you remember the woman in Luke chapter 11 who came up to Jesus and said, blessed are you. Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed. And what did Jesus say? Blessed is the one who hears the word of God and does it. What did God say in Jeremiah 23? He said, is not my word like a fire and a hammer that breaks rocks into pieces? The writer of Hebrews would say, for the word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Remember when Joshua took over the responsibilities of leading the children of Israel after Moses died? God spoke to Joshua. There it is, the grace of revelation. God spoke to Joshua. He said, okay, you got big shoes to fill. You got a big job to do. And God did not talk to Joshua about leadership. And God did not talk to Joshua about management. And God did not talk to Joshua about people skills. God said, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. Then you will have success. Then you will be prosperous in what you do. There is a lot of noise in our society. There are words that come at us all of the time. And we as Christians are those who pursue the truth rather than the falsehoods. We pursue that which is right as opposed to that which is wrong. We pursue God's word instead of the word of man. We listen to God's word. We meditate on God's word. We study God's word. We apply God's word. Ahaziah shows us the truth of what we see in the Bible, that it is dangerous and it is even disastrous to resist God's word. The very beginning of Scripture, we find the couple resisting God's word. Adam and Eve were told by God, you can eat of any tree that you want to eat of except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And what did they do? They thought they knew better than God, and instead of listening to God, they insisted on their own way, and here we sit. It is disastrous to resist the word of God. In Leviticus chapter 10, there is the story of two boys, Nadab and Abihu. Nadab and Abihu were the sons of Aaron. Aaron was a priest. In some ways, since Aaron was a priest, Nadab and Abihu, they grew up in the things of God. They grew up in the temple. They grew up in the church, if you will. They had seen their father be a priest, offer all kinds of offerings. Back then, you would offer, the priest would offer the offering. He would take like what is a dustpan and would put fire on it and then like attach it to a broom handle, and then he would stick it in the Holy of Holies. And the Bible says in Leviticus 10 that Nadab and Abihu, I don't understand this, but they offered strange fire. I don't know what they offered unauthorized fire. Now maybe, I don't know, this is conjecture, but maybe Nadab and Abihu said, you know what, we've been doing this all of our lives. We've seen Daddy do it. Fire is fire. Maybe they were supposed to get a fire from a certain place. We don't know, but bottom line, they got the wrong kind of fire. And they offered it to the Lord, and read the story. Fire came out from underneath and killed them both. It is disastrous to resist God's word. You heard Tom preach through Jonah. Jonah was told in very clear terms, go and preach to the Ninevites. And he resisted God's word. He did not pursue God's word. He went the opposite way. And where did Jonah find himself? In the belly of a fish. Ananias and Sapphira. In Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira sold a piece of property and led the church to believe that they were giving the proceeds to the church. The only problem with that is that they gave part of the proceeds to the church. And Ananias came to church one day to offer his offering, which was a lie. Boom. He died right then and there in the middle of church, and they took him out. And Sapphira came in later. They took two cars like Amy and I always do. Sapphira came in later, and she walked in, and she was going through the, she was living the lie. She was going through the motions. And the men said, the very people that took your wife, took your husband out of here are going to take you, and boom, she died. We always pursue God's word. We do what God says. He has been gracious to reveal himself to us, and we obey. Now, the Old Testament writer, when he was writing, did not have, like we have computers where we can underline and we can bold and we can italicize and we can highlight. They didn't have that. So the Old Testament writer, if he wanted to emphasize something, he would say it three times. That was his way of emphasizing. So when you read about Isaiah, seeing the Lord in Isaiah 6, he sees the Lord and the seraphim are above the Lord. And what are they saying to each other? They're saying, holy, holy, holy. That's the way the author is emphasizing to us the holiness of God. In Jeremiah chapter 7, Jeremiah is told by God. God speaks. Jeremiah listens. That's the way it works. Jeremiah is told, go out into what we would call the parking lot of the church. Don't wait until people get there to preach. You go out into the parking lot, and as they're coming in, you preach to them. They had this little shibboleth that they would always say, the temple of the Lord. They trusted in the temple of the Lord. They believed in the temple of the Lord. They thought that because their temple was so great and grand that God was pleased with them. And Jeremiah was told by God, go out in the parking lot and say, do not trust in the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. Three times it was said. I want you to notice something in this passage that is mentioned three times. Look at 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 4. This is the Lord speaking to Elijah as before he goes and intercepts him. God says, now therefore, thus says the Lord, you shall not come down from the bed to which you have gone up, but you shall surely, what? You shall surely die, verse 4. Now look at verse 6. They go back and they tell the king in verse 6, there came a man to meet us and said to us, go back to the king who sent you and say to them, thus says the Lord, is it because there is no God in Israel that you are sending to inquire of Beelzebub, the God of Ekron? Therefore, you shall not come down from the bed to which you have gone up, but you shall surely die. There it is, the second time. Now look at verse 16. Elijah goes to Ahaziah and he says to him, this is Elijah speaking directly to him, he says, thus says the Lord, because you have sent messengers to inquire of Beelzebub, the God of Ekron, is it because there is no God in Israel to inquire of his word? Therefore, you shall not come down from the bed to which you have gone up, but you shall surely die. You shall surely die. You shall surely die. You shall surely die. Do you not hear the echoes of Genesis 2? You shall surely die. But what did they listen to? They listened to the one who said, you shall not surely die. God's word always prevails. And we pursue that word knowing that God's word always prevails. The story of Ahaziah shows us the futility of resisting God's word, but when we read God's word, we realize two realities. The first is this: God has communicated to us who he is and what he expects of us. Can you imagine what it would be like if we did not have God's word? We wouldn't know who God was. We'd probably be out at night worshiping the moon. But God, in his grace, has given us his word. We know who he is, and we know what he expects of us. He has not left us to ourselves. In his grace, he has spoken to us. So, one, God has communicated his word to us. Two, my hope is not in obeying the word of God. My hope this morning, as we look at Ahaziah and is resisting the word of God, I am convinced that I am to pursue God's word, but I realize that my salvation is not dependent on my adherence to God's word. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But, Isaiah says, the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. God has given us his word, not so that we would be saved by it, but he has given us his word so that he has given us his word so that we know that we are saved by his son, Jesus, who obeyed God perfectly. Ahaziah shows us that it's futile to resist God. But we realize that our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. We dare not trust the sweetest frame, but we wholly lean on Jesus' name. The story of Ahaziah is a reminder to us that God's word always prevails. Christianity is not about what I do for God, it's about what He has done for me. God sent His Son into the world. His Son lived and took on my sin. All of the sin of the world was placed on Christ. When we believe in Christ, the righteousness that is Christ is given to us. That's why Paul would say, if we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, we will be saved. We're not saved by how well we keep the Word of God. I often fail when keeping God's Word, and so do you. All of us fall short of the glory of God. None of us can keep God's Word perfectly. I'm right with God not because I obey perfectly. I am right with God because Jesus obeyed God perfectly. This is the time in the service when we celebrate not our own keeping of God's expectations. Not when we celebrate what we have done. This is that time when we celebrate what God has done. That is why we come to the table. We come to the table remembering the blood and the body of Christ that was given for us, and we realize that our justification, our being right with God, rests not in how well we keep the word. All of us are like Ahaziah. Our trust is in what He has done for us. So when we eat the bread, you know how it sticks in your teeth for a little while? It's a reminder, should be a reminder to us of the body that was shed for us. He Himself in His body bore the curse on the tree. And when we drink the blood, we're reminded that Jesus poured His blood for you.